Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. This is Erica, the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which, as you know, is both a podcast and a blog focused on living a healthier lifestyle and incorporating more greens and workouts and just living that non-toxic life. As you probably know by now, I am 4.5 months pregnant. So I'm still incorporating all the same health and wellness lifestyle blog posts and Instagram posts as I usually include, but I am also including some prenatal yoga tips and just kind of documenting my pregnancy as I go along. I'm in no way an expert at all. Please don't think I'm just advocating and, you know, acting like I am perfect in each and every way. This is literally just me being a normal person who works the 9-to-5, who is totally relatable and, you know, just trying to live my best life and be healthy at the same time. But the reason I bring up pregnancy is because, so earlier this week, I had one of my mom friends do a post on balance, because I feel like the deeper I get into this pregnancy, the harder it is for me to keep up. So I work a 9-to-5 like everybody else, and then I come home and I cook dinner and I podcast or I edit blog posts, and in the past it's been exhausting but totally manageable. And the more pregnant I am exhausted. I'm getting heartburn, I'm getting acid reflux, I'm nauseous. I know, it's all gross, I'm sorry. But it's just my body's changing and I'm really trying to slow down and listen to my body. So you might be noticing less Instagram stories and whatnot, but hopefully I'll be able to, you know, just power through and keep doing what I'm doing. But I thought it was important that I just kept you guys updated and wanted you to know that I'm still here and I'm still loving blogging, podcasting, interacting, learning from all the other wellness gurus out there. But, you know, things change and things progress as life, you know, goes on. So yes, that's a little bit of an update on me right now. This podcast episode is actually very interesting because I interviewed not one, but two health and wellness gurus. They are Lori and Michelle of the Purely Twins, and they are fitness and spiritual lifestyle coaches. And basically, they empower women from all over the world to be the boss of their bodies, their minds, and their lives. And you'll definitely be able to tell from our conversation that they believe that it's about all three. It's about being fit. It's about being, you know, spiritual. And it's also about having that mental clarity and just making sure that all three of those are in balance. Now, we talk a little bit about Lori's journey with PCOS, and she's also a mom, so we talk a little bit about her balancing the work-life world. And then we also chat with Michelle and her journey with eczema and a lot of her spiritual growth. And actually, both of them talk about their spiritual growth a lot. They give a lot of great recommendations, which, if you want to head over to the show notes, we include all that information in there. And another thing I wanted to note about them before we jump in is that the Purely Twins have been around for so long, and they've been blogging for over half a decade. They are literally veterans in this industry. And it's been really cool watching them grow and just kind of change as, you know, as their lives change, as you progress, you know, what you what was important to you 8 years ago isn't exactly, you know, always what's important to you 8 years later. And that's also what I was trying to get at before when I was talking about my pregnancy, is just that as life goes on, things change, your focus change. And the Purely Twins talk a little bit about that in this episode as well. So without further ado, I would like to just mention this episode's podcast sponsor, and that is Blooming Lotus Jewelry. Blooming Lotus Jewelry is an intentional brand of handmade jewels created to support your soul grow, prosper, and blossom. So each piece of jewelry is lovingly handcrafted and filled with purpose and meaning by the owner, Jennifer Serrallo, who I definitely want to point out, she has a heart of gold. So 5% of all the sales from Blooming Lotus Jewelry are donated to support the Kid for Cancer organization. And then in addition to that organization, she also donates to Autism Society of America, the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. The reason I like to point this out is because when you're a small shop, it's really hard to grow. It's really hard to, you know, make those donations when you're competing with corporations who obviously have different expenses. So I just find it really admirable that, you know, despite being a small shop, Jennifer gives back to society. I think that's really important. And it really just reflects her business overall. So Blooming Lotus Jewelry has an extensive line of jewelry, including mollusk necklaces, mantra bar necklaces, mantra coin necklaces, gemstone bracelets, intention cuffs, which are my favorite, and crystal necklaces, just to name a few. I personally have a mantra coin necklace, and I am obsessed with it. If you've seen my Instagram stories, I actually have a yoga dog in my yoga room. And when I'm not wearing mantra coin necklace myself, my yoga dog is wearing it. I want to point out another feature of Blooming Lotus Jewelry. Since every piece of jewelry is made with intention, you can search for jewelry by its purpose. So, for example, Jennifer has pieces such as her carnelian stone bracelets that were made with the intention of bringing about abundance and success. And, you know, you can find other pieces of jewelry that hold intentions for love, creativity, balance, serenity, the like. If you want to purchase your own Blooming Lotus Jewelry, head over to bloominglotusjewelry.com. And as always, thank you for supporting the BYOK sponsors. Now, without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Oh, hi. So happy to be here. Thanks again.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. So would you mind just giving us each a brief background about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Well, we're twin sisters, obviously, and I'm a mom, and I have two kids, and I had a severe adult acne for many, many years, good 5 years of, like, severe ones, and I realized I had the PCOS during that whole journey, and that was a whole new concept for me to realize. And then I had not too big of a trouble getting pregnant, but I did have a little bit of trouble getting pregnant when I realized I wanted kids. And then I finally got pregnant, and then I had though two amazing pregnancies, and then I dealt with postpartum issues with diastasis recti. And then I just kind of been working through a lot of stuff with Michelle. We have come from backgrounds of girls who were obsessed with what they looked like, which caused a lot of emotional damage, spiritual damage, and mental damage, and then physical damage through all of our health issues and our skin issues. And now we're on the other side of all of it.
Yeah, we both, from a young age, had a lot of digestive issues and big girls' body image issues from a very young age, and always felt we were look different than other people, didn't understand. And so we kind of, from a young age, in that obsession of what we looked like, and that related to how we exercised, how we ate, kind of morphed and changed over the years as we got exposed to new things and learned new things about ourselves and things like that. But we've always both had girls that had digestive issues and skin issues, and I suffered from severe acne as well, but the next month, late years later. And yeah, so we both have come from a place of just been through a lot with our health, which played a role on how we mentally and emotionally showed up in the world, which now we've, as Lloyd was saying, we've on the other side and excited to be here to share some insights with everyone listening to help you guys realize that it's you're not always too. About what you look like. And there is
a fine
line of being healthy and becoming too obsessive, which we worked for many years on the obsessive side and realizing that was actually causing more damage than when we just loosened up the reins.
Yeah, and also too, we want to be here to just inspire all the girls out there that Michelle and I are no different than anybody else, you know. So if we can do all this to get to the other side, you can too. So we want to be show you what's possible. That
it's just a journey, and I think a lot of people, we were so different. We just wanted our skin to be clear. We just wanted to be able to eat food and not feel like crap after it and have, you know, issues in the bathroom and going to the bathroom. We just wanted to be normal, whatever normal is, right? And once we kind of had to peel back the layers and redefine health and happiness for ourselves, you know, that's when things shifted. But just realize that it's a journey. When you focus more on having fun and not so much getting to that thing that you want, it is when, for us, that's when things really started to change for us.
So before we jump into your journeys, I just want to touch on your actual business and how you turned your journeys into your livelihood, and then just how you built that up a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So how we got into fitness and what we do now with our fitness has definitely changed and evolved. But from our history, we were always active girls. Our whole entire life, we loved playing outside, doing stuff outside. And then as we got older, we got really into sports. We played all variety of sports. And then we have two older sisters, and when we saw their journey, one of them played sports, the other one didn't, but they both got into the gym life and got into lifting weights, and actually both of them got into bodybuilding. And so Michelle and I saw our sisters start going to the gym, lifting weights, changing their bodies,
eating
very restrictive, like plain broccoli and plain chicken, like all the time. So again, at a young age, because they were older than us, we were seeing this, and so it slowly affected Michelle and I. We started doing things differently too with them. Then as we kept kind of getting older and having that from society, thinking that we have to be thin to be accepted, to be loved, just to fit in our life. So one thing we felt in control of is our exercise and what we were eating. So we started doing that again. It started in high school, a little bit in middle school, but really in high school, and then a lot in college. And then the years after, right after college, we became gym junkies and really heavily cardio focused. We had a little bit of the strength training, but not as much, because in our eyes, we saw our sisters do all this lifting of weights and got really bulky. And we're like, oh, we don't want that. We just want to look in shape and look lean and thin without getting bulky. So again, in our eyes, like, oh, just cardio, cardio, cardio. So we became gym junkies. All we did was cardio with a little bit of the weightlifting, but wasn't ever a big priority. Then we just started realizing our bodies weren't changing no matter how many miles we ran or how much elliptical we do or how many calories we were burning. And we've also realized our health issues were just continually getting worse. Even though we're doing all this stuff with our diet and we're exercising, we thought, wait a minute, we're exercising, which is what you need to do. We're eating well, but why are we still having these acne, major constipation, still bloating, just not feeling full of energy, full of life, or happy? I'm like, gosh, what are we doing wrong? And things come into your life when you need it, when you're ready to shift, ready to break through, ready to have that big change in your life. And I remember Michelle texting me and saying, Laura, I can't wait to share you. I found this new way of working out that's going to literally change
our
lives.
Because we started losing motivation, which is weird. We love exercise. We love fitness. We're like, but this is, and we dreaded going to the gym. We're like, well, this isn't, you know, this shouldn't be how it should be, right? And so we came across, I remember I was on YouTube and just Googling, like, I don't even remember exactly what I typed in, but I came across HIIT workouts, short, intense workouts geared towards doing at home. And we're like, we're at the moment, we're like, let's break free. We're going to leave the gym. And we haven't stepped foot in the gym in, oh, I guess now it's been over 7 years.
Wow.
We only do home workouts. And it just started a new passion for us, in us, and a drive. And so we wanted to help more women realize you don't have to exercise for hours to get results. You can do it at home. You don't have to go to the gym like we're half the time. I know for us personally, we just felt worse all the time, like looking at all these other women, like, why aren't we looking? Why aren't we changing?
Well, also, too, what the HIIT did for us and how we work out now, because we started incorporating more strength training, because once I realized I had PCOS, that strength training is actually really good for PCOS. And so, because what it does for, like, your hormones and your muscle building and stuff. But really what the HIIT did for us is that it started changing our bodies in a positive way. And we're able to start gaining the muscle, but not the bulky way, which again, in our minds. But what really happened to us is the energy and the confidence that we came from it. And it didn't happen overnight. Like, each year we got stronger and stronger mentally and gaining more and more confidence in ourselves each time. But we're still having a lot of health issues, even though we started working out smarter, not harder, by using our body differently. And we started seeing improvements in, like, our confidence, but we still had, again, self-doubt and still major skin issues and depression that we still have to deal with. So we realized that the other big missing piece, not only was just changing how we worked out smarter, not harder, was we had no spirituality practice in place. We didn't know who we were. We had no self-love. We had no mindset practice, no mantras, no positivity in our life around us. And we realized, wow, how important that was. And so once we started incorporating that into our journey, it really was the complete picture, and that really helped us get to the other side.
So yeah, so we started, just had a passion just to share everyone that what we've been experiencing. So we started off as bloggers, sharing, really was just sharing our journey of our health, to improve our health, to improve our skin, and then through that we wanted to help, you know, again, like, you learn stuff from other people, you see someone else doing something, you can start, like, oh, I want to do something like that too. So we also had a strong passion, besides the fitness, was recipes, creating recipes. So we just started sharing our workouts and our recipes on our blog, and people were just loving it, and our following just kept growing and growing. People wanted more and more and more.
Because we're also sharing, we also always being real life, and always still honest, like, what's going on physically with us, like with our health and our emotions, and so as
yeah,
well.
And so we shared our journey, and that was years ago, and we also then started our own online bakery, and that was like our first, what is it, started on, it started for us as a farmer's market, kind of personal chefing locally, and then we expanded to be online, but so that kind of was our first taste into, like, the business world, and then, but we still had this strong desire for fitness in terms of, these people were loving our workouts online, and we're like, well, how can we make this as a business? And then, you know, so you go to Google and you research things and stuff, and we came across online businesses and how you can create, like, online programs, and all the technology, of course, has changed a lot since when we first got started. But so we just were like, okay, well, let's just try it. And so that's kind of what we did. We wanted to show people, again, how Huck was saying, like, what we've learned through fitness and self-love. And, of course, that's evolved and changed even from when we first started our business. Our mindset and our approach to fitness is different. But
yeah,
we just Googled how to do it, and we first started off with creating
a three-month program.
We called it our Plank Power. And because we've, one, going back into our health journey, what we shared a lot with people, what we kind of, I guess, kind of became known for was our planks. We shared a lot of plank-based workouts on our YouTube channel, and people just loved them. One, because plank's a great full-body exercise, but we did it in terms of, like, it was like a workout. Like, you didn't just hold plank all the time. Like, you did other stuff doing it, because we realized for about 3 months of our, when our health was really bad, we had missing periods for over 3 years. And we're like, even though we were doing better workouts, we were still pushing ourselves too much. We kind of took a break from HIIT workouts and started doing more low impact workouts, and that brought in more strength training back into our life, and a lot of core work focus, planking. And so we, like, let's just make a business around, you know, a program around that, and just people loved it, they wanted more. And so we're like, okay, so how can we
make this scalable
and really
start growing to help even more people? And so that's
what we realized.
We
wanted to help more
membership.
Girls realize you don't have to exercise for hours. You can shape your body in a short amount of time. And that is also through our journey. There's also more to it than how you look, and it's how you, how are you physically feeling and emotionally feeling. And so we kind of morphed it all together into an online membership site, is what we first started off with. And then through the years, we've created other online programs that are more like set. But that's kind of like, I guess, our journey into the fitness. It started first with us experiencing our own ourselves and then coming from a place of, this is what we do now. This is how we approach fitness. And a lot of our clients that from the very start are still with us today, and they changed and worked with us. And it's been a really cool
process. Yeah, because so many of them too came from the background we did. They either had messed up hormones, skin, and they over-exercised like how we did. And so they fell in love with our story, connected with us. And so that's been really powerful to see them, a lot of our clients, transform themselves over the years. And so that's just why we keep doing what we're doing, because just that deep transformation that we see in people and the confidence that they have now. Yep.
I love that you guys were able to turn something that you're just so passionate about into a career as lifestyle coaches. That's so admirable. I just want to ask you one follow-up to question regarding the blogging. How long have you guys been blogging? Because I feel like you guys have been around for a while on it now. Like, you guys are really prominent.
Yeah, we started, I guess it was 2009, and we didn't take it, like, seriously back then, like, as we kind of morphed into making it more of a part of our business. But back then, we just, like, we'd post every once in a while, had no real, like, structure to our posts.
We had an old blog called Pure Too Raw, and that's what started it, and because we came across other bloggers, and we were caught ourselves following their journey. Like, well, we want to help people and connect, because we always felt alone on our journey. Like, I felt like I was the only one having acne and all this stuff. So I know there's other people out there like me. So that's when we started sharing our journey. So we got into blogging from seeing other people blog. And then so we had that blog. And then as we got more into ourselves and what
shifted
our
life, I guess,
we stopped that blog and created a whole new blog, which is what we have now. It's purelytwins.com. And we created it because we're twins. And Purely came about because we want to be a pure place. Everything that we share comes from a pure heart. We're always going to be purely us. We're always going to be sharing what has changed us in some way to help somebody else in a pure way. Like, we don't hype anything up. We don't do anything. It's just pure honesty, pure recipes that have changed our lives, workouts have changed our lives, now insights and mindset.
So we started
changed our lives.
Transferred over, I think it was like 2012, 2013, like about the time you got married.
Right, yeah, 2012.
When we kind of transferred to this new platform and kind of changed our focus is when we started adding more of our self-love journey into it, because the other one was more of our workouts and recipes and a lot of like our health journey, which we have. We kept some of those old blog posts. We moved some of them over just to reference back to for ourselves even. Because now it's been so far from that journey, we sometimes forget what's happening with us because we're just so not there anymore. But that's kind of how we started. And each year, even with blogging, we got better at learning. We went through a stage that we felt the pressure of having to show up every day, even if, like, sometimes the content, like, maybe it wasn't, like, not necessarily bad, but, like, wasn't really life-changing content. And now we put a lot more intention behind what we do, and we've actually cut way back on how much blogging we do and focus more on, well, now with social media, there's other ways you can serve besides a blog. And so it's just, it's changed a little bit how we approach blogging and stuff now, but it's still something we still love and enjoy to do. It's just connecting with people
business.
Because, like you said, we always used to feel alone, and we love our Purely Twins community. So,
I love that. Yeah, it's so interesting too, because like, you're right, like the whole social media world really has evolved. You know, you don't have to post every day to connect with your audience. Like, I see you, Lori, with your kids, and like, you know, I love just seeing like the behind the scenes and like what is actually going on. And you guys are so genuine. You're not just like, you know, picture of this recipe, and you know, that's all you're showing. No, you're really showing like your workouts, your behind the scenes, your talking about all the non-toxic products that you're using, and I just love that.
Yeah, we love just bringing people into our world because it's life. Like, you know, it's not always bells and whistles. It's, you know, sometimes messy, but it's all fun too.
Well, something I think a lot of, like, nothing, like, we know there's some people who love to keep things neat, tidy, and pose perfectly for their feet and stuff, and that's, there's nothing against that style, but for us, like, honestly, it's, like I said, we don't always have time to go clean up first, then take the pictures. Like, we just take the picture and, like, you know, we do our best to not make it so, like, out of control. But, like, we try to, like, literally just our lives. We're sharing our lives and what we're going through currently in the moment. And to inspire the ones, to remind people, too, is that, as Lori was saying at the very beginning, we're no different. We're just two girls have a strong passion to help people and come along for the journey.
So since you brought up sharing your life, would you mind sharing your journey with eczema and how you really were able to, I don't want to say overcome it, because I don't know if it's still like a constant struggle. You know, it's not something that ever really completely goes away. It's something you're probably always on top of. But just
yeah.
how you were really able to heal your body.
Yes. So going into, again, it started at a young age, I had weird skin rashes and itching. Like, I was the only one in my family that had, like, these just always, these random skin issues. And some to this day, I don't really know what they are. But eczema, I always remember as a kid itching my legs. And most of it was always geared towards my legs. But it never was what it morphed into later in life. But it still bothered me. And I remember being self-conscious. I didn't like wearing shorts or skirts because I would have, like, these red bumps all over and these like just weird looking things on my legs, and I just didn't always like explaining to, or felt like I had would have to go and explain to people what this was. So I remember always having that in the back of my mind, already feeling different because I had these weird skin things going on. I didn't get a skin officially diagnosed that it was eczema till 2011, when I was older in life and I guess kind of came to terms of what is this. I'm tired of this itching that's going in my life. I want to know what it is, what it's from. So I saw a lot of holistic type doctors and naturopath doctors, as well as typical dermatologists. And I've seen just about everyone out there to help me heal it. Like, I saw people that help with like your energy, your mental health. Like, so, I mean, any type of acupuncture, like, and everyone had like a good thing and helped me learn something more about my body, my health. But, I still wasn't able to find a doctor that could really tell me what was going on, because it just kept getting worse each year kept getting worse. And it wasn't until I had a lot of many, many rock bottom moments with this where I really wanted to kill myself. It was so painful. And I kept remember always telling Lori, I can't go another day like this. I'm in so much pain. I cannot do this. And I remember one moment, it was like 3 a.m. in the morning, is when I normally would have my worst outbreaks, was always in the middle of the night. And so I never really slept a lot these 3 to 4 years of when my acne got real severe. I never really got much eczema, when my eczema got really, really bad, because it woke me up because I was itching so bad. I'd wake up with bloody sheets, you know, just not fun. And I just remember one of the nights, and I literally just fell to the ground. I was like, God, what is going on? What did I do to deserve this? Like, we just kind of had this, like, what the hell type of attitude. And through that, I went home for the holidays, and my older sister was like, Michelle, you've done everything, just loosen up and start enjoying life again. And it kind of hit me, like, I was so obsessive again with my health and what was wrong with me, and always focusing on the negative, like, what's wrong with, like, what, and not realizing I was also dealing with my emotional side of me. And so I got through that breakdown and through that realization, I started enjoying life more. Because through that time, I did a lot of elimination diets and cleanses, and which I did in the past to help with my acne and digestive issues. So here I was doing it again. What? Like, the stuff isn't working. And, you know, what's going on? I'm trying to be healthy, trying to take care of myself. And it wasn't, I got led to more of self-love stuff, more meditations, deeper emotional work, which I grew up, and this is what I realized was I highly connected to my eczema. So Lauren and I both realized, for any girl out there that's definitely suffering from skin issues, hormones and digestive issues, if you most likely have emotional issues, because we were girls who kept our emotions inside. We had to show up, we had to be strong. We already felt different from everyone else. We can't be the emotional crying in the corner type girls all the time. So we kept a lot of our emotions in, and we weren't all even raised around people who were emotionally strong in terms of they knew how to handle emotions. And so I realized a lot of my eczema, and that's what, to me, it came out through my skin. All of my emotions I was keeping inside just was busting through my skin in a very intense way. Because also about the time when my eczema exploded was when I really decided to make our business more like
our business.
So I had to say no to a lot of other things. And I think that was, I didn't realize at the time, emotionally hard for me, and not realizing that I was keeping what that was feeling inside of me, that again, it showed up through my skin. And so through the journey, I got open to new self-love mentors, spiritual people, helped me reconnect to that level, and I did a lot of like emotional wound healing from my past. And I'm still doing some today. Like, I have trauma, and I had a lot of childhood trauma that I wasn't addressing, and finally opening up even to my mom. I finally have opened up to her about some of these things that I've kept, that happened to me when I was younger, that I finally, and it just was a journey. And I feel, and the more I've done that, not only does my skin keep getting better, but we also feel a lot of our appearance, our emotion, like you carry also a lot of emotional baggage on your body. So I feel, again, we were trying to change our bodies for so long too, which affected our health, but it wasn't, and when we started doing, reconnecting with ourselves in a different way, sealing ourselves more from a loving place, even when that all kind of shifted in us. But eczema, it is something I'm always very aware of, because I have to be very aware of my emotional stress and when I am I saying yes to too many things and not taking care of myself, me first. Because when I do notice an outbreak happening, which don't happen as often as they did at the start when I finally got healed, but it is, and being girls with digestive and skin issues, we're always going to be very aware of what we are eating, how we're taking care of ourselves on the outside, and then also what we are emotionally doing to ourselves, because it all makes a difference.
That is so fascinating to me, and I did not expect that answer at all when I was completely honest, because I kind of expected you to talk about, you know, oh, I changed my diet, or oh, I, you know, changed the way I worked out differently. And it's so fascinating to me, because you are so right. Like, your emotional well-being is so important, and it's so overlooked, and people don't realize, like, the effects that your emotional and spiritual, you know, health have on your body. And you're a perfect example of that.
Yeah, actually, because when Michelle's eczema started getting really worse, that's when my acne started getting better. And the one thing that we realized with her, too, was her still holding on to stress and being perfectly healthy with stuff. But one thing that we did is that really helped both of our journeys is that we stopped reading health blogs. We stopped listening to health-related blog podcasts, anything, or buying dieting books or magazines, anything like that. And we were putting more of our investing into our time and money into self-help stuff, spiritual stuff, mindset stuff, and literally haven't really looked at any health-related thing in 5-6 years.
Because
we just keep focusing on our inner self, and that we get more in tune with ourselves. Because we generally know if you eat wholesome, real foods, majority of the time, you're going to be okay. You can still, but we still allow yourself to have the fun. So we still have our chocolate and our desserts and cocktails every once in a while, because it's all about still enjoying life. But we know all the basics. You don't have to stress over it. So we focus now just taking care of our inner being, and that really reflects. And that's really when our everything starts changing.
Yeah, because
when we drop the health and fitness obsessions and turned it more to finding who we were. And that's when my skin started clearing up. That's, you know, when other mentors or what we needed came into our life, because now we were open to it. So the universe brought it to us.
And I do believe there's a time and place, because through one reason too, going to diet, there were some diet things I did change to it, because I do, when our big believers that there are certain foods that some people can eat and there's a certain food you can't, even if it labeled healthy, right? Like not everyone can handle bananas or whatever, you know, like it does come down. You do have to still be aware of what you are eating and how it is affecting you, because that also affects you physically and emotionally, your food, right? How it chemically changes in your body. So there are some, we are believers that there is a time and place that you need to put a lot of focus on your diet and what you're eating, but you have to make sure at the same time you are taking care of yourself mentally, because that's the part we miss. We tried every type of diet and cleanse out there through our whole long journey of trying to fix ourselves and heal ourselves. And so we eventually realized no matter what we're eating or not eating, we're still like nothing's really majorly changing. And that's also helped us take that pressure off, that it's not always so much about the food. There's something else going on.
Maybe just your attachment to the food. And that's what was one of our
biggest
issues. Because we were so obsessed with, no, this food's gonna work. Oh, this food is definitely making me sick.
Yeah.
We are so immensely there. But then once we realized that was one of our biggest, we teach a lot in our programs that we have learned over time to loosen up the reins, loosen our grip over the attachment.
Because if
food.
You think about it, most of the time it's the stress you're putting on the food or the value you're putting on the food, because we'll get clients that will tell us a story like, I eat an apple and this is what I immediately know is happening. And I'm like, is it really the apple? Like, it probably is not. It's probably other things going on. And that's a hard thing to swallow, because sometimes you just want it to be food, right? Oh, just because we realized that, look, when she was running her acne really bad, oh, I'll just take out all these foods and it'll heal me because everyone else said to do it. And they didn't. And then you get even more doubt on yourself. And then you're staying that negative energy. And we eventually realized was a lot of it was where our thoughts were. We were so like, this food's going to make us break out. And then it did. But it wasn't really the food, because because it was what we were, oh, we were telling ourselves this food's going to make us break out. So the biggest thing we tell them, you have to be aware, you always have to be aware of who you are emotionally and what you're saying to yourself, because sometimes that's what it is. It's not actually what you're eating. And so once we kind of made that connection, it was easier for us to loosen up around food and our food obsessions and our body. And we just kind of started slowly over time shifting away, because we realized there's more to life. We, that food wasn't fulfilling us the way we thought. You know, there's other ways. And I think it's a journey, though. You have to take even our stories, for girls that are listening, just take our story as an inspiration, not to put pressure on yourself or to beat yourself up for maybe for what you did. Because we have to also,
and that was another big thing in our
journey,
is that show yourself more compassion in your life.
Because
looking back at all the obsessions we had and what we did to our bodies, like, we had to forgive ourselves. We had to show ourselves compassion. It's like, we didn't know any better. You're just doing the best you can with the information you have at whatever given time you're at. So just be more compassionate to yourselves. And don't, when you make a mistake, don't judge yourself for it. Don't put any attachment
to it. But we eventually realized it's not really a mistake. It was part of you to learn something and really focus on the lessons. And that was, I hired a coach that really helped me focus more on that. Like, going back into the old things, like really focusing on the lessons and not really holding on to, like, that it was a bad thing that I did or whatever. It's just, what did you learn from it? And that can go from your diet and your health and your fitness too. Like, just look at everything you went through as a journey and, like, look what now you learned about your body.
And then create a new story for yourself.
Yeah.
I love that advice, because you are so right. Like, your journey encompasses more than just your nutrition or your fitness plan or your mental health or your emotional health or your spiritual belief. It really is cumulative. And, you know, while some people might not need the health blogs, like you guys were saying, you guys had those tools. You knew what you could put into your body, what worked for your body. You knew how to work out, but you guys didn't have that emotional, you know, aspect really rounded out yet.
Yep.
While other people might have that super positive attitude, but they just don't have the, you know, information on the food, what they should be putting into their body. So you're so right, and that's such a powerful message that you really need to look at
everything.
It's truly a whole body, a whole being experience, because everything affects the other.
Because even, like, even going on the top of that, it's like your environment, like, who are you following? Who are you listening to? What are you reading? And then also just your physical environment. Like, is it very dark and cluttered and have stuff that's no longer serving you, but you still have it? Like, we have done so much decluttering of our stuff.
Still,
like,
having stuff in your closet, hoping to one day to fit in.
Yeah.
Is it really serving you?
Like, we just have so many, like, some skincare. We just have so many skincare products. And we would always think, almost every month, it felt like going, like, okay, we're not using this, take this out. We're not using this, take this out. And over the time, I've gotten a very simple skincare routine. And then we kind of took that in other parts of our life, too. So even just the act of decluttering stuff can really shift you, make you feel lighter emotionally, too. And it's just really powerful, too.
Yeah, we're definitely big believers on doing less to live more in terms of, in all parts of life, like shorter workouts. You don't need to do hour-plus workouts unless you feel called to it and you enjoy it. So that's another approach to point in people taking care of themselves, is you still be able to believe you have to take care of what works best for you. And not everyone's going to like short hit workouts. They desire longer workouts. Maybe it's endurance running or whatever. And that's totally cool. We always say that you're doing it because you enjoy it and you like it. Not feel like you have to do it to look a certain way. It's a different energy. It's a different mindset approach. And same with eating. Some people really need a structured eating plan that makes them feel, you know, better in life. It helps them have less stress. Well, then do it. If you feel your best, less stress, and you're showing up to your best self, and you have a structured eating plan, then do it. Who says you can't have, you know, we're all about, you have to do what makes your life easier, makes you show up better in your world. Because when you're showing up better, you're helping others do the same. And so it's like, we definitely, like, no rules in anything. And even your self-care practice, like, we try to keep it as simple as possible. There's some days we get to do a lot of mindset and journal work, and there's some days we get 2 minutes. Like, and it's all about, you just learn to go with it, and you just have a basic understanding of what you need to do, but you still have learned to adjust and grow. And that was something that was hard for us first, but I think by boy having kids has helped us be more of, it's not going to be perfect. It is what it is.
That's also a great message, that, you know, what you see on Instagram with the whole self-care, you know, go to the spa and then go get, you know, sit in the infrared sauna and then have this perfect, you know, perfectly pictured Instagram meal. And it's just like, yeah, that's not real life. I mean, that's great to do, you know, once a month or once every 3 months when you can. But like you said, like, that's not how you know, normal people have their day-to-day flow. So it's important to go easy on yourself and not expect that of yourself.
Okay. And that's why, too, it's important for us. Like, we help our clients, redefine what self-care is to you and realize that it could change. Like, for me, like, my self-care changed once I had kids. Like, my self-care, what self-care to me is a little bit different than with my kids, or even my practice that I do is different than before I had kids. And when my kids get older and they are more independent, I can do things again, more on me again, more in depth. And so to me, again, it's just wherever you are right now, find just some few things that take care of you.
But I think with the pressure is when some people don't, we realize that they just don't feel 2 minutes, 5 minutes is going to be enough. So why bother? And that's what we're trying to show people. Everything helps. Every little bit helps. And even if, because we have created our Fitful Movement practice that we do with our clients now, it's how we approach fitness now, our self-care. We combine it all together. One short practice that takes 30 minutes. Of course, if you have more time to journal or read, go do that stuff. But if you can just get 30 minutes, a little bit of exercise, a little bit of journal or mindset work, or visualization, whatever it is, that's enough. And just believe that's enough. And know that there's a time and place where you'll be able to do longer meditations, but you don't have to get results. Because I think it goes back to the idea of being perfect. And it was actually a new limiting belief that I actually just realized I came across for myself, was that if I can't do it for the time allowed, then it's not going to work. It's not going to be perfect. So I was blocking myself into such an exception. You know what? It is going to work. It is what it is right now. It doesn't need to be perfect. I can still get results. And that's a story you've got to tell yourself over and over, that being perfect doesn't always mean you're going to get results. Being imperfect can get you results. And it's ideas like 2 minutes, 5 minutes is enough. You don't have to meditate. You don't have to journal every day to get results.
So it's all your, to us too. Like, we always set intentions before we do things. Now it's always your intention behind you do something. If you're sitting down for 2 minutes, intentionally sitting down for 2 minutes to focus on your mindset and to say more positive things to yourself, know that's the best 2 minutes of your day. Then know that, and that 2 minutes is changing your life. And if you go into that intention, like, I'm giving myself 2 minutes here with me, like, kid free, 2 minutes of listening to my thoughts or saying something that I want to happen in my life, knowing that that is shifting it, and it's already in the works. Again, going that you don't have to do it forever.
Because the more you do that, the more you're definitely doing stuff from a more self-love place. Everything you do throughout the day will reflect that as well. You'll eat differently, you'll move different, you'll talk to yourself differently, you're dressed differently. It all happens kind of at the same time over time, though. So I think, like, people stress about, like, well, I don't have 30 minutes. Well, just 5 minutes, sit with your mind, and then you'll watch the rest of your day. You'll make different choices, decisions, because you start
off. The more you do it,
the
more expensive you do it the first day. Well, I sat with myself for 5 minutes, but my rest of the day didn't really change. That's not the point. The point is that you just are intentionally trying to do that every single day to the bigger picture, knowing that 3-6 months from now, if that 5 minutes did change your life.
And you have to start.
So my question for you is, since you guys both were able to really shift into that positive mindset, because as you explained earlier, that was kind of like where you guys were lacking that self-love. Do you guys have any recommendations for the listeners, as far as maybe podcasts or books or, like, you know, inspirational people that you followed to kind of get to this amazing point where you guys are now, from a spiritual aspect, of course.
There's quite a bit of people, and one ones keep coming and going.
We're big fans of Abraham Hicks.
Yes.
We have some of their books, and we listen to their stuff on YouTube all the time, so huge fans of them. Gabby Bernstein, her as well, her Spirit Junkies and all that, is just amazing stuff that's really been life-changing for us as well.
And then we, through the years, have come across new people that have inspired us, new coaches and stuff. There's a lot of people on social media states that we feel are putting a positive light, but really anyone we like, I guess, just focusing on, you just search hashtags like mind, body, soul type hashtag, spirituality hashtag, you'll come across a lot of inspiring people. But one thing that really, helped me in my darkest days with eczema was Louise Hay. And she's worked a lot of, she was the first person that really, her message of that, your thoughts, your emotions is what you're getting in your reality. Like, that was, she was the first person. And she does a lot of meditations, and bless her soul, wish she was still with us around now, but her work is really what changed me. Because I remember, because during the time I was getting a treatment for my eczema, it was about a 45-minute drive from where I lived So I was going 45 minutes to the doctors and 45 minutes back. Instead of listening to just music, I listened to her affirmations. I listened to her meditations while I was in the car. And that's when, and the more I did that, I did this twice a week. So twice a week for about 2 hours, I was getting ingrained with these positive thoughts and emotions. And I did, she was the first person to help me also realize I need to heal emotional trauma when I was a kid. So she was a big one. But there's a lot of people in the Hay House families, books and stuff that
we're big
have.
Fans of Tony Robbins too.
Yep.
So he's great too.
Yeah.
He's got a great message and great aspect too. We're big fans of Oprah and some of the stuff she said. She's all about getting law of attraction and mindset stuff. So she's also just and surrounding ourselves with more people like that too. And it just, and we find more and more people that are into the manifest testing mindset stuff, and everybody has like their own spin on it, and we love getting it from all different angles because everybody's message will kind of hit you differently. But really, again, in our own environment, we just surround ourselves. Again, we have affirmations everywhere. Again, when we're doing work, we're listening more to like affirmational type stuff versus other stuff. And that too, which has kind of helped. And, but see, we've been doing this really hardcore mindset stuff for a good 3-4 years. So it wasn't like that when we first started. We weren't this into it, like the level we at when we first started.
We had a lot of self-doubt still.
Yeah, so I think also that's what too is like, just enjoy wherever you're at. Because when we first got started, we were always would get down on ourselves if we had a negative thought or we had a bad day or we didn't get what we wanted. But not really, again, the more we did this, the more mature you get into your own self-love mindset practice, that you look at those things and you don't feel bad about the bad stuff, because you know it's just part of life. There's always
mm-hmm.
going to be ebb and flow of life. You don't beat yourself. You don't give it any more attention than what it needs. You see it as it is, okay, and then you shift back. And we're finally there now. The first couple of years, we weren't there yet. We were still a lot of like, oh gosh, we have a bad thought today. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm thinking that today. Or
a lot of it was from
it. Just each year we kept up with it and we got stronger.
2016, 2017 is when we really started investing more money, lots of money, into coaches that helped with that stuff more. And I do feel like that's when it started to go deeper. So you have to be willing to invest in yourself, or you're not going to say anything. You can do a lot on your own to get started, but you need someone to push you to go deeper, to see things differently. And that was a big shift for us. We started attending more events.
But
see,
for us, it's like you not just investing in stuff, but it's just being in that other person that you admire's energy,
presence.
Where they are, their strong energy presence can shift you too. And just being in that person's energy more, even if you don't have the money right now to invest, just invest into other people's videos and podcasts and be in their energy more. And that will too will shift your life. Then you realize, oh, I'm just, you know, investing in stuff and the money will come later.
Yeah.
But just being in other people's energy that are there, it's also really important too. That goes back to your environment, who you're surrounding yourself with.
I love that. I love those recommendations that you made. Those were all amazing. I actually will connect later afterwards, and I want to link those in the show notes.
Sure.
And actually, Michelle, I love that you gave that tip probably unknowingly, but a lot of people say they don't have time for self-care. And you're right. You can take, you know, your morning commute and utilize that and listen to a self-care book or a Tony Robbins, you know, speech or meditation or whatever. Like, you can find those 5 minutes or 20 minutes or however long your commute or your drop off to school or the drop off after you drop off the kids to school, maybe.
You
can really find that time to listen to those inspirations.
And then, and not just that too, like, you can even, like, when you get more into it, you can even just sit in silence and observe your thoughts that are coming in and out of your head and get more comfortable with that side of you too, not anything going on around you, just you and your thoughts. Because at the start of our journey, we were like timid, like, sit with myself and my thoughts, like, icky. That felt so icky to us.
Yeah.
But now we're finally there where we can sit in quiet for 5 minutes
and that's actually
observe
we
our
get
thoughts.
We thrive off that now. We get excited when that, when we have that time. And some days it's not much time and some days it's longer. And but again, you kind of also get to the point where you notice you're doing stuff naturally throughout the day. You're shifting, you're aware of your thoughts. You notice how you felt different in the experience and you felt that way before. And it's just really cool to, really it is about focusing on the journey and seeing and being proud of your growth. And one thing too that I think that's helped us a lot that I think a lot of girls don't do is take time to honor themselves and look back at what they have done and what you've been through. And Because I know when we first got into it, we were still so hard on ourselves, like, it's not enough. And then we eventually realized, wait, who says it's not enough? Look what we have done.
Yeah,
we may not be at Tony Robbins Oprah level, but does it, like, look what we have done. And I think a lot of girls put so much pressure on themselves, and we were no different, that, well, it's not this. So obviously it's not enough, but no, it is. And really taking the time to reflect back, and we're starting to do that monthly now. We reflect back, okay, what did we get done this month? How did, not just like, not physical, always physical things or tangible things, but also just how we mentally or feel different in our bodies.
Yeah,
make
aha mental shifts that came through us, and those too should be celebrated as well. Like,
yeah,
the, when you get a big understanding of something that you've been working on mentally or emotionally, be proud of that too, of that breakthrough that you had emotionally. And we even celebrate those.
But we also recommend our clients to kind of brag a little bit. Like, what have you accomplished? What are you going? I think so many people feel bad about saying what they're got going on, the positive stuff. No, people need to see more positive stuff. And I think, but do it obviously from a place of inspiring people and empowering people, not being like, oh, look at me, type attitude. It is an energetic way you present the information and your intention behind it. But I definitely think there needs to be more people sharing, showing people what is possible and helping people remember there is good in your life. And it's the little things too. Like, you know, sometimes if we get a great night's sleep, and we'll take that. Like, you know, like it is embracing and being grateful for everything that's going on in your life. The good and the bad, like, it all is part of it. It's all part of it.
I love that message. It's so, so powerful. And you're right. I mean, even myself personally, me and my husband were talking the other day, and it's like my blogversary this week of 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, thank you. And I'm just like, ah, oh, I wanted to be at, you know, this many followers, and I wanted to be working with this many brands. But really, like, looking back at it, we're both like, oh, wait, but like, I have a blog and I launched a podcast, and
yeah,
I was able to do so much more in this 1 year that I'm giving myself credit for. And so
exactly.
Hard to look at your own, you know,
yeah,
your own self and give yourself credit for that. So I
yeah,
love
that
you guys
that
encourage
that. Right there, that technique right there you're saying, just looking back, that right there is a great technique to increase your self-worth of really that you are worthy, that you are an amazing human being, and to keep going. And so that we do that too, just to help your self-worth. Like, wow, look what I did do, you know, so that's great.
Definitely. So, Lori, I want to chat with you a little bit about your journey with PCOS. For those who aren't aware of it, I feel like you either know what it is or you don't know what it is. So can you just give us a little bit of a background about what really that journey encompasses and how you were able to heal that?
Yeah, well, PCOS can show up differently in so many women. It's a cyst on your ovary that can cause hormonal issues, and for a lot of people can be weight issues. Most typically, people with PCOS are very sensitive to insulin and carbs, and they have a lot of weight, and they have a hard time getting the weight off. It's because they most likely have this cyst on their ovaries called the PCOS. And there's stuff that you can do to help it. But there's also another side of PCOS. Is Stephanie, I forget her last name, but she has the book called, I'll give it to the link so you can link it up in your show notes, but it's the PCOS Unlock book. And that book really opened my eyes, because again, she also had skin issues and had, I think, believe she had PCOS too, but I was always solid throughout my journey, but I never really gave much time to really discovering what it is, or eventually I got tested for it, because again, a lot of my blog readers were like, Lori, I think you have PCOS, because it's been my battle. I had battled acne for 5 years, and people were like, I think you might have PCOS. Well, I think it wasn't until like my fourth or fifth year that I had my struggle, I got tested, and I did have it, and this also happened right before I wanted to start having kids. But for me, in her book, because she studied it much heavier than I did, but so I highly recommend her book if you have PCOS. But I was she breaks those up in different categories and different types. I was type 2 in her book, which is the overly stressed hypovolemic amenorrhea, if I'm saying that stuff right, category. And for me, my background, I wasn't the overweight person. I was just the girl who had the severe acne from it. But looking back from her book, it was from all the stress I put on my body physically through all the demanding workouts I was doing, being obsessed of being at a certain weight, being at a very low body fat percentage, and then also the stress of my diet on top of it, how I was always constantly changing my diet left and right and being so obsessive over that. So that was my culprit for getting PCOS, was the extremes I was doing with my body.
with diet and the exercising, and then also with my weight, and that, and then the, just, I was just, I'm a person in my past, I would stress very easily. Like, I was, can be ticked off very easily and be stressed out. And so that too was all part of my realization of the PCOS. And then again, mine came out through skin of severe acne for 5 years.
So were you able to, I guess, like, quote unquote, like, heal your PCOS through just managing your stress and being more aware of that?
Yeah, one thing with Bicol, but I took some products, like I did some niacin sprays on my face because niacin's really good. The biggest thing was, obviously, when I started changing my workouts differently, kept over the years doing less of my workouts, doing more intentional with my workouts, and doing more strength training, like lifting more with weights and not so much of the cardio, and that happened over the years. That helped just my general stress in my life, which goes back to eczema, goes back to so many things. Stress is such a huge culprit for so many things, and stress shows up so differently in so many people's lives. So, but stress was a big thing.
With stress, though, for us, and related to our pelvic skin issues, I think a lot of girls may not realize, is that anytime you change your diet, bigger drastic change, you are changing physically your chemical reactions in your gut. Therefore, food's going to digest differently. Your emotions going to be differently. So we didn't realize that. We thought that's why, again, we have so many skin issues. Is we change what we're eating all the time because, oh, this isn't working. We got to try this. We got to take this out. We got to take this supplement. So every time we were doing that, our body was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And so eventually, our body was kind of like a shock overload and just started, like, just coming out. It couldn't take any more changes in our gut. So I had gut dysbiosis through eventually when I realized, too, was that it's just from all that. And I think so many girls probably did that. They jump from diet to diet thinking that diet's going to fix them.
We
did. And so when we first
started,
that's stress on your body.
Yeah. We were also raw vegans for a few years because we thought that was going to be our answer to fix all of our issues, but it wasn't. And so, too, she's big on eating more primal, paleo-stylish. And so I started eating more meats back into my diet, and that kind of feel like helped. And so I started creating more of a balanced diet, especially for the year when I was really trying to heal it. I always made sure I had all my macros present at every meal. I had a healthy fat, I had a protein source, I had a carb source, and just always making sure I had more of a balanced meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I've gotten better and I've treated over the time, but what works for me, and I'm loosening up my attention again on the food, putting labels on anything. So that too, just over time, just focusing on having more of a balance and finding again what foods work for you, and that just knowing that it's a journey, but it's a fine line of again being from a place of curiosity. Like, that's also what helped Michelle and I a lot through all this journey of healing our health issues. Is how's this, if I try this, how's this going to affect me? Without being like, oh no, this is going to work, or no, this is going to not work, you know? And so coming more like, oh, I'm going to try this, I'm just curious to see it. And so you have a much more looser attachment to the outcome.
Stressed around what's happening. You're like, I'm just going to try it out.
Kind of
more playful at it.
Yeah, and then of course, when I got to a weight that was better for my hormones, that helped with control of my PCOS. And then through skincare, I think also helped along with that, because mine was acne with the PCOS, which a lot of people have PCOS, can also have severe acne too. Just simplifying my skincare routine, what I put on my face over the years, by far, is another thing that kind of helps me. And then with the PCOS, controlling it is always making sure I'm very mindful and balanced with my food and not being too restrictive or too crazy with it, and just making sure of, I mean, coming from just a more loving, mindful approach to food. And that too, just over the time, has helped me. Again, just your stress, by far, stress.
So much good information in that. It's really kind of scary how damaging stress can really be for your body. I mean, I really feel like it's so overlooked. So I'm so glad that you guys are really bringing awareness to that and sharing your story, because it really is invaluable.
Yeah, because one thing with Michelle and I's journey, and some people, it's hard to, because you have to take ownership and stop playing the victim card in your life and actually take ownership, because we didn't realize how obsessive we were, how stressed out we were about our appearance and the workouts and the food we're eating. It wasn't until later on we realized, looking back, and then finally coming to the realization, we're going to take ownership. We were doing all that. We were obsessive of it and not judging ourselves for it. So I think even in that moment, you're kind of blindsided by your own self of how stressed you are about something. So.
Well, I know for us, ours was, we were just trying to be healthy. That's what we kept trying to say. People are like, we're just trying to be healthy. what's wrong with that? What's wrong with trying to be healthy? And it's very, we talked about this many times on our blog with us. It is a very fine line of when you're pushing the health that it's becoming more damaging than it's
becoming,
actually.
It's becoming your life instead of just something that you're enhancing your life. It becomes your life.
And that just comes, the biggest
it.
Way to come to that realization is you have to slow down and be honest with what's happening.
Yeah.
How many diets have you tried? Okay.
Well,
maybe it's time for a, you know,
you have
to
be honest. And again, how often are you thinking about food throughout the day? Because for us, we go to the kitchen, we make our food, we eat, sit down, we enjoy our food, but then we leave and we don't think about the food anymore. So also to the stresses, how often are you thinking about food? Even if you, what did you just eat? Are you still thinking about what you just ate, thinking in a negative way? Or are you just going in, eating the food, feeling good, and then leaving it and going to do something else? And that also helps us break away from our food and body image issues, is that we got into more of other things that took our attention off the food, off our body. We got more into our blog and then creating a business from it, and then eventually our spirituality side. So even just shifting your focus and sort of stress level, how often are you really thinking about food, thinking about what it's doing to your body, to your skin, can also be that other stress that might be hidden that you're not realizing. And unfortunately, so we had to hit those rock bottoms in our moments with our health for us to make these realizations. And we don't want other girls to get to that part. It's also why we share our stories. We want to help girls not get that bad. But if you do, sometimes that might be just, again, part of your journey. Maybe you're at a really rock bottom with your health and just thinking, what else? And just even by you saying that you're open to a different way of healing, it'll come to you. But that's what you have to be open. You have to sit with yourself and be like, you know what? I tried this way. I'm open to seeing something differently, because that's how we were. We were open to different doctors, different mindset approaches, different ways to view the world, like that alone. But if you don't open yourself up, so Lori and I are big believers that you have to have an open heart. And
an open heart.
How do you get to an open heart? It's just stating that. I am now open to any new possibilities. I am
healing
that to yourself over and over. I'm now open to new possibilities. I'm now open to seeing this differently. You know, and then ask for God, your higher power, whatever you believe, to guide you.
And trust that it will. And it won't happen maybe instantly, and maybe it will, depending on how close you are with yourself and your intuition and things. But just the idea that you'll be open to it, and you just have to be notice small shifts and changes throughout your life. That you have to first kind of have that moment with yourself and be like, okay, I've tried everything. Let's do it differently.
I love that you guys are really, you know, kind of explaining this, because I feel like this is really going to resonate with a lot of people, because they do play the victim card. Oh, it's, you know, it's the gluten. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. And yeah, while those could definitely be contributing factors, you really do need to look at yourself, make sure you're not playing the victim card, making sure you're not placing blame elsewhere, and making sure that you are open to other resolutions. And it might not be a food, it might not be, you know, a fitness routine, it might be that mental health or emotional or spiritual or just, you know, anything out there.
Because again, for us, like, we are always focusing on it's the food, and whether it's gluten or the sugar, we kept getting signs in our life and through our skin. The thing just kept getting worse because we were giving so much, again, attention to that negative of it, instead of saying, no, this is going to help me heal. This food is going to make me feel really good today. This food is really colorful. It's going to make me feel so vibrant. And focusing more on that talk with food versus,
it's really,
oh,
shifting.
Gosh, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to see what it does to my body. It might make me, it's probably going to make me break out. It's probably going to make me gain weight. You can just tell the different energy of somebody who's like, oh, I'm just really curious. This is so pretty. Look how pretty this food is, or how vibrant it is. It's going to make me feel vibrant on the inside. And it's really shifting from not being fearful of food and really seeing food as nourishing, and that you're open to finding the foods that work best for you. Again, knowing that might be a journey. And also, depending on what you're going through in your life, different foods might heal you at that moment. And then you may not need to eat it again. Or because we notice too, like, we go through kind of different cycles with their food, like really are craving. To be honest, like right now, like, we're kind of going through a period where we're not really wanting meat right now, which is weird because we've done the raw vegan before, and that didn't work for us. We went heavily paleo for a while, and then we kind of came to more of a balanced approach, but we're trusting it. We're going with it. We still have it, but like, we're not like, we don't freak out like, oh my God, we didn't eat it today. We don't do that anymore. We just trust, know that we're going to be okay. Our body's always telling us what it needs. It's just, we sometimes still want to rely on someone else to tell us. No, it's you. Only you know you. And again, it comes down to, you have to sit with yourself.
I love that. So I also want to talk about another topic that I feel like really all women resonate with, the fear of gaining weight. And your kind of mentality is, you know, you can work out less and still, you know, maintain a healthy weight. And I think there's a lot of fear behind that because you're like, wait, I want to lose weight, but you're telling me to work out less. So how do you guys kind of address that issue within your own, you know, lifestyle, healthy, wellness, coaching practices?
So it's funny, looking back on our journey, the amount that we work out in a week is how much we used to work out in a day in the past.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and that, again, didn't happen overnight. When we first got into, stopped the hour-plus workouts and got into HIIT training, we were still doing a lot of HIIT training, like, because we still had a little bit of that fear, because we're working out less now, but we got to do intense workouts every day then, right? And
yeah.
We also still had a little bit of that fear, so we're still into running too back then on top of the HIIT training. Yeah, so I feel like for us, again, what I would recommend to girls is realize it's a journey to kind of get to that place of not being fearful that you're going to gain weight, is just to kind of just start small. So if you're working out right now for 2 hours, maybe you go down to an hour and a half, and then you go down to 1 hour, like, because we kind of forced ourselves to go short, and I think we weren't mentally ready for that we did HIIT workouts just about every day, which in a sense still wasn't healthy because those are very intense, extreme workouts. You need to give your body rest to recover, because we also at that time feared rest days still. So we always were pushing ourselves, even though we weren't working out for hour-long workouts, they were all 20-minute less workouts, you were still really, really pushing ourselves. Because now we approach workouts, it's more balanced. Some days it's more weight-based training, so not so intense. And then some days it's core-based workouts. We have a more balanced approach now to fitness, but I would say, looking back, what I wish I would have done is just started more slowly. Then over time, you realize, wait, I am okay by not doing a two-hour gym session. Or I'm okay when I just did 20 minutes, but I think it goes also back into your intention with your workout. If you're fully present in your workout and you're giving it your full intensity, you're going to get results. Because one thing too, we noticed in our path, we were sometimes approached when we were at the gym, we weren't there. So that's also the reason why our body wasn't changing. We were comparing ourselves. We were reading a magazine. We were watching a movie while we were working. We weren't really connected with our bodies. And now when we do our workouts, we have our clients be with your body when you're exercising, feel the muscles working. And they'll bring such an intensity to your workout that it will change your body. But I think a lot of that I would recommend people is that you have to know it's going to be a journey to get there. You're not going to jump right in.
And I think
you have to take that pressure off yourself. But just that you're open to the idea. But use us as an example. Yes, of course. And there's other women. Another thing, too, helps you have to look for examples of other people that are working out less that still look okay.
Looking at it, it's a little bit, to me, again, even deeper than that. To me, what we realized too over the years, that I want to get across here, is that what's behind the fear of gaining weight? And once you unlock that and realizing where is that coming from, that fear, just in general, so to us, it's, again, the fear that we felt we had to look a certain way to be accepted, to feel worthy, to be enough. So that fear of gaining weight came from we had no self-trust in ourselves, we had no true self-confidence. Deep down inside, one of our deepest core issues was that we didn't feel enough. And that's also played the big part of the fear of gaining weight. So that's when our spirituality practice came into place, where we started feeling enough now from a different source, and feeling ourselves and working through that fear. And calling out those fears helped too with that fear of the gaining weight, because everybody's beautiful in their own way, and realizing that we are all born worthy. Because God created each and every one of us. And if you just sit with that, especially having kids now, having two girls, I look at them like, God created me to have them. And then God created them. And then why am I looking at my girls any different than myself? Why do I put, so it goes back to, I am just as worthy as my daughters. I'm just as worthy as my twin sister. I am just worthy as every girl listening here on the podcast. And they are just as worthy as me. And so we're all born worthy. And it's just our own selves listening to the society around us, making us feel more and more unworthy. So really getting to the deeper emotional and spiritual side of the fear of gaining weight can take a lot of that pressure, again, over time. And that's something we've worked on over time. Each year, we've gotten less and less better at the
holding so much value on the number on the scale, because we had such a bad relationship with, because we would weigh ourselves before we worked out and weighed ourselves after we worked out, mm-hmm. and did anything change? And that obsession, one is, again, what you hear most people say, you have to get rid of the scale. You do. You have to get rid of the scale, but also you have to also address the deep lying issue. What is the fear of gaining weight? And what are you really after? Really, most girls are after is to feel accepted, is to find happiness. It's just to love, to feel love and know that you already are that. And
we have to start finding ways to feel that way now and detach how you love your appearance. And the biggest thing I could say that would help, that helped a lot for us, was to surround other people who are also promoting to love yourself now and not feel like people who were rich, shredded, things like that. Yeah, that's cool for some. You know, that might be motivation for some people. But for us, having such a sensitivity to our appearance, we had to find other people who were also preaching love yourself now. And I think having skin issues,
well,
brought to love yourself
more
with it. A lot of people think like, oh, it's easy for us to love ourselves now. We got our clear skin or whatever. I started loving myself when I had my acne. I did mirror work. I looked in my eczema, well, my acne too, in a sense. I started looking at myself in the mirror like, I love you, Michelle. And I had to learn to look past the red patches all over my skin, the blood on my skin. Like, that's when my self-love really started. So you have to learn to find a way to detach yourself from what you look like and your exercise and not give it so much importance, and just that it's a tool. Exercise is just a tool to help you feel better in life. It's not to make you look a certain way, to be a certain way. You have to be that person now, no matter what you look like.
So much good information.
But there's a lot more we could say on that.
So can you guys just give me a few takeaways for the listeners, because you really encompass so much information in regards to food and body images and, you know, pursuing that happy lifestyle. What would be some key takeaways for you guys if you had to just, you know, break it down? And also, because, I mean, there's probably people listening who, you know, might want to seek your, you know, health and wellness coaching services because they are going to be so inspired from your story. So, like, what would just, you know, like I said, what would be some key takeaways that you'd be like, all right, listen, this is what we need to start with.
Yeah, one for me that came up for me is that instead of picking up the next diet book, pick up something on spirituality, pick up something on mindset, and see how that changes your life more so than that diet book would have changed your life.
To expand on that, find other things in your life that bring you joy,
that aren't diet fitness related.
Like, find other ways you can be creative, other ways that just light your soul up. And I think sometimes we don't think that's going to do it, but that'll change your life. Because again, you're focusing on more things that bring you joy. Again, you will eat differently. You'll work, like, you will do things differently. So definitely carrying on with that idea, like, just break away from the diet stuff so much, and focus on what other ways you can feel, you know, be more of service. Maybe focus on growing your own business, or be more active in your community. Like, find other ways that you can bring joy and meaning to your life. And another thing to me is take care of yourself, mind, body, and soul. Every part of your life has to be adjusted and reflected. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect in everywhere. Lloyd and I aren't about being perfect. I mean, there's still areas in our life that maybe we could work on improvement and just realize, but everything can be improved. You have to learn to be okay with that, and just that, realize that you're doing the best you can, and don't put so much value though on one area of your life more than the other. They're all good. But depending on where you are on your goal in your current life, like if you are trying to be pregnant, yeah, your attention is going to be a little bit more on that type of taking care of yourself, right? Getting your body ready, getting your mindset ready. Just know that too, and that's why you can't compare yourself to someone else's journey, because they're currently going through something different than you. So my biggest thing is, just focus on what's going on in your life. What is your current goals? Use other people as inspiration, but realize they're on their own journey. They have their own goals. And just making sure you're taking care of yourself really is the emotional piece, I would say, is my biggest lesson was that.
Yeah, and just to me also going along with all of this is just spending more time with you, because you only know you, and things will come through you, things that you need to work through, or you have aha moments, and just – even if it's just a minute a day, when you wake up in the morning, sit in the shower for those couple of minutes while you're in the shower, alone mm-hmm. with your thoughts, and just realize that you are the creator of your reality. And knowing that, when you get deeper and deeper, and that you start understanding that more and more,
and just how life-changing that is, and that you can write a new story for yourself starting today at this very instant after listening to this message, this podcast. You can go and write, journal and write a new story for your life, and that is your new reality, and just always refer to that every single day. And that is a journey, and so we're going, ending it is, don't get so hung up on the end goal. Enjoy more of the journey. Enjoy more of these aha moments, of the down parts to get to the other side. Embrace all of it and realize that is where life is. That is where happiness is. That is where beauty is the journey, not the final destination of where you're going. Because it could change, you know? So don't get so hung up on getting to a certain weight. Enjoy just the journey of taking better care of yourself, being open to new mentors, being open to new things that come into your mind.
Because before you know, whatever you're going after, you've already reached it, and it wasn't such a big deal anymore, because now you've moved on to something else.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I feel like so often we either say to ourselves, or we hear a friend say like, oh, once I reach 120, I'm going to be so happy. Or once I, you know, get this job, I'm going to be so happy. And it's like, no, you can be happy right now and enjoy that process and learn about yourself. And like you said, sit with yourself and improve your, you know, emotional well-being. And I just love the message that you guys are really conveying.
Thank you. Thank you so much again for
the happiness.
Of
course. So do you guys have anything in store, and where can everybody find you?
Yeah, well, we do a lot over on our blog, PurelyTwins.com, and pretty much on social media, from Instagram to YouTube, Facebook. We're all Purely Twins everywhere. We're very active on YouTube as well as on Instagram stories. Mostly on our stories is, I guess, what the best way to really see kind of like how we act and who we are. We do have some blogs, the day in the life of type things. We share people again where we are on our journey, but the best way to connect us is just our blog, PurelyTwins.com.
Yeah, our blog also too, we have like a shop page or a service page where you can see all the different products, because we have quite a few,
depending on what
where you
need,
are.
If you need more food and body image help, or if you're a mom, you want some fitness help, or just want to how we work out now, maintain our life now, we have a membership program for that. So we have different options for people to kind of, if they want to experience what it's like to work with us. We also have some just basic ebooks that kind of like intro to how we got to where we are.
New stuff that's coming. We're having a brand new challenge coming out in May. We're super excited about. So it's going to be a mix of fitness and a mindset challenge. We're super excited about. And then other things that we're going to be creating, more workshops related around more mindset talk and the lessons, the mindset shifts we took, because we got a lot of people asking us how to get there. So a lot of it was mindset. So we're going to be, those probably happen more in the fall time. So again, stay up to date on our newsletter to get when all that stuff will be available.
Awesome. Okay. So I have one more question for you, and I didn't prepare you for it, so I always feel slightly guilty, but what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Ginger.
Really?
Hands down.
Do you guys have a favorite brand?
We use the GT. GT Synergy.
Synergy,
yeah. I don't have a bottle here. But
Yeah, there's
one in your trash can over there.
In
my trash can.
By far.
GT, yeah, for sure. Yeah. There are a whole bunch of different flavors. They have a white bottle, I think, with gold.
The other flavor we like that got us to drinking was their flavor called Trilogy.
Yes, it's like red, right?
Yeah. And then one of our sisters really likes the lavender flavors. But we love ginger, so hands down the ginger one.
And I think through our journey, we don't like such sweet stuff. And some of them are just too sweet for us. We'll take like 3 sips and we're like, yeah. So again, everyone's different, but definitely ginger for sure.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us. We had so much fun. And thanks again for everybody listening.
Yes.